Now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
Block to Block Radio here on 91.5 FM, KKUP, Cupertino.
I got Mario Asuna in the casa. How you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
That's right. Mario Asuna is with the National Compadres Network. What's going on, brother? Won't you go ahead, right off the top, introduce yourself to the folks out there. Tell us a little bit about the organization, and we'll get into it, brother.
Well, I'm thankful to be here. Thank you for having me. National Compadres Network has been around now since 1988. The whole cause behind the National Compadres Network is helping men heal themselves, helping men stand up for other young men, showing them the right path, living a nonviolent life, living a life that will hopefully get them to no longer have DUIs.
Oh, yeah, man.
Get them to have healthy families. Our strong belief is that where you have healthy men, you have healthy women and children.
Oh, yeah.
And our goals are doing this by bringing young men up in a good way, showing them about where they come from, helping them connect to their culture, helping them realize that instead of looking for their identity out on the streets, they carry it in their hearts, and that's their cultura. You know, we come from the mindset of la cultura cura, and we're an organization of men that are committed to this in our work and in our lives and how we raise our children, to really raise healthy men and really stand up for the cause in a good way.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's what we need right now. I've been stressing for the past few weeks. A lot of the issues that we've been talking about here on the Block to Block show, it all comes back to the healing of our families, the healing of our men and women, our fathers, our mothers. You know what I'm saying? It's man. The man is the head of the household. I'm not even getting on some old 50s, your old lady barefoot and pregnant in the bed. No. But the men need to be, there needs to be a strong presence, man presence in the home. And when that presence is gone, well, we see what happens in the streets. Mm-hmm. We see what happens with our children, our young women, and our young men. And I tell you what, I'm glad you're here today. And, you know, one of the issues that we've been talking about here as well is just last week or a couple of weekends ago, there was a Paul Castillo case. And there was a, you know, Paul Castillo was a parolee who went on a rampage, if you will. He was a parolee at large here in the San Jose area. There's an extreme manhunt that ended in his capture out in Sacramento, but he ended up knocking over a liquor store. He ended up carjacking, actually murdered a woman, dumped the body off, evaded police. He was shot at. He was on the run through the streets of the east side and north side of San Jose. And, you know, we were talking about that issue, and what I brought up was, well, what led to that? What would lead a man to go down that road, that path? And, you know, we discover now as the story comes out that he was actually sexually assaulted as a young man. He was actually bred up in the ways of the criminal ways through his mom. It was word that he was sneaking through doggy doors to help with home invasions for his mom's and her drug addiction. He was actually a drug baby. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And so having you here today, you know, that case is an extreme case.
Right.
But I tell you what, we got kids, and it's focusing on the men today. We'll focus on the young boys. We got a lot of young boys out there that are witnessing the male figure in their life disrespecting their moms, disrespecting the women in their home. We have the men in their life, in these young boys' life, that are abusing drugs, that are abusing alcohol. What can we do, brother? How can we help heal those young people, those young men? And what is your organization doing? What are some programs that you guys are, how are you guys tackling these issues, that issue?
So, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be servicing this community now for over 15 years. Originally working with MOXA before, with the Male Involvement Program, with the Fatherhood Development Programs. The biggest thing is, when you're going into juvenile hall and you're running a group of 30 young men and you ask them, how many of you have a father in your life? And you only have two or three raise their hand.
Mm.
That's telling you something. When you go into Elmwood and you go into any of the pods and you ask 60 men, how many of you had your father in your life? And you only have 5 to 6 men raising their hand. That's telling you something.
Yeah.
Where are all the men at? You know, society has allowed us to let go of our responsibility of raising our community, of supporting our community, of protecting our community. And we've owned that. As men, we've said, okay, feed me. You don't want us in the life, then we're going to bounce. You know? So what ends up happening is moms do a great job raising kids.
Oh, yeah.
But a mom can't show a boy to be a man. That's just the reality. No different than me being the father of two daughters. I could show them how to be good people, but I can't show my little girls how to be women. That's the role of my wife. So what we need is more men stepping up to say, it no longer has to continue in this path.
Oh, yeah.
We can stop the cycles. We can stop the pain. And we do it by first working with ourselves. If we're going to come into the community and think we could be knuckleheads, but then show someone how to do something that we're not even a model of ourselves, it's not going to work. What these young men need is they need more male role models stepping up to say, nah, carnalito, it doesn't have to be like that. Whatever you experienced growing up, what someone needed to do with this kid, Paul, is put him aside one time in his life to say it wasn't his fault that he grew up the way he did. It wasn't his fault that he had the pain he had. The pain he had needed to be dealt with in a way where we allowed him an opportunity to heal. But no one ever takes youngsters aside anymore to process things. What do? Is we overstimulate them. You know, this. What did Paul do? He let his life go with Grand Theft Auto, man. That's what I was thinking of when I heard what this kid, what this dude did. It was reminding me of the damn video game, Grand Theft Auto, in real life.
Yeah.
And when I'm also a football coach. And when I was with my kids, I was actually with my kids in practice. That's exactly how a bunch of 9, 10, 11-year-olds talked about it. Like it was a damn video game. Because they've disconnected their souls. They've disconnected their spirits. Because that's the only way these kids get by every day.
Yeah.
They're dealing with so much trauma in the home, so much trauma on the streets. Damn, it's too much to put up with. So what do? Is you disconnect. And when you disconnect, then you don't care about what happens with your consequences to your actions. You just move on. What these youngsters need is they need a safe place where you could get them together, where you could have men who are showing them the path, who are stepping up to say, I'm not perfect, but every day I try to live my life in a good way. I don't give up on myself. I'm not going to give up on you. What do you need? What's going on with your life that we could support you with? And how oftentimes do these youngsters, if we don't give them a path, they're going to find it on their own. And that's what ends up happening. They get it on the streets. They get it with the homeboys. They get it with the drugs. They get it with the sex. They get it with the violence. It's their way of trying to deal and numb all the crap that they're carrying every day. And I want to say something in terms of mental health. We know that half of what they're carrying isn't even theirs. It's what's passed on by their fathers, by their grandfathers, by their families. We're dealing with generations of historical trauma that manifests itself within the streets every single day. But how oftentimes do we not ever make that connection? I have youngsters that tell me, Mario, when I'm sitting in a room, sometimes something just overcomes me and I don't even know what it is. I can't even sit still. They're tapping their legs, moving around, looking around. And oftentimes, they don't even realize that a lot of what the baggage that they carry, it's not even theirs. But if we don't help them heal, they're never going to let it go.
And I've always said, man, this hurt, broken kid is one day going to grow up to be a big, angry man. You know what I'm saying? So if we could nip some of this in the bud, you know what I'm saying? And that's going back to the way our prison system works here in California. We got a lot of kids out there that got issues. We got a lot of kids that get swallowed up in the system. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they're breaking windows. But depending on what neighborhood they come from, depending on the color of their skin, well, they're going to be doing some time. Now, are they being just shipped away? They're just being stored away, just being locked up? Or are they really being healed? Half the time, half our gente is just being locked away. And, you know, like I said, I'm not standing up, sticking up for people. People did their crime. You do crime, you do time. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying everyone out there is innocent, but we got to understand the past and what makes a criminal, what makes a monster. And if we understand that, well, we could, you know, maybe we could help some youngsters from not becoming that.
But how oftentimes do we hold them accountable without judgment? Because the system judges left and right to the point where you can't ever let go of that label. I mean, I ran for many years domestic violence programs, and working with these men who would come to our group, I would always tell them the same thing every time I intake them. I don't care what got you here. I'm just thankful you showed up. Now, we're going to hold each other accountable. Each other, first of all. Because the system holds accountability only by pointing fingers down. It doesn't allow you to point the finger back at itself. Now, if we just are going to blame the people who are going through these, who are reacting the way they're reacting to their lives, but we don't say as a system, as a society, what are we doing to provide support to these men? What are we doing to help them in their healing process? Then they're just going to keep perpetuating the same issues over and over again. But I'll tell you what the system does. The system says, all right, you messed up. So you're going to do a domestic violence program. You're going to have to pay $300 to register. You're going to have to pay $40 every time you show up every week. I'm going to make you do a drug and alcohol group, which you're going to have to pay so much money and every time you show up. I'm going to also make you do anger management, which you're going to, again, you got men that are coming out doing four or five different programs a week.
And you get violated if you don't do it.
You'll get locked up if you don't do it. But then these dudes are getting stressed out, having to do all these programs, which I don't knock the programs, because if the programs are helping the men to heal, then I'm for it.
Yeah.
But we're putting these guys in a highly stressful situation where they're having to come out of practically their whole check is going to pay for these programs. And then we're wondering why they're not getting pissed and going back and using dope, getting violent, because oftentimes the programs are just dogging them. They're just talking crap to them, telling them that they're no good, that they have no value, as opposed to saying, what is it that got you here? What would you really want in this world? You know, one of the things in working in mental health that I've learned and that I honor is all behavior is based on the lack of a need. If you are lacking certain needs in your life, you're going to act out. Anybody. I don't care where you come from, whether you're from Los Gatos or whether you're from the East Side. The only difference is we got people that have more resources that are able to handle those needs and that are able to handle how to replace the behaviors in a positive sense. Where you have everybody else on the East Side or in other communities that are pretty much fending on their own, not knowing what to do. Not even acknowledging the fact that when you just label someone based on their behavior, they own it and they can't let go of it. As opposed to, I'm going to right away say, my daughter one time saw somebody smoking. And she said, oh, dad, that's a bad person because they're doing something bad. And I told her, no, mija, there's no such thing as bad people. There's just people that make bad decisions. And when you separate the behavior from the person, you're able to start letting them let go of those labels and begin their healing process.
Mario Azuna in the house. Representative of the National Compadres Network. And man, I'm really glad you're here today. This is a heavy issue. This is an issue that needs to be talked about, especially if we want change in our neighborhood. And, I always go back to, if you're a man, you need to be responsible. And I tell folks out there, if you got kids, you got sons, you got other young men hanging around your house, you know what I'm saying? Take it upon yourself to be that role model. You know what I'm saying? Because you might be the only male figure in their life. And what are you doing in front of them kids? Just be mindful of that. And also, too, I always say, man, you don't got to buy their school clothes. I'm not saying buy their school clothes, but encourage these young people. Remember, you're being looked at. A lot of folks out there saying, well, I ain't a role model. You are, brother. You are.
Yes, you are.
You're a man. You know what I'm saying? So be mindful of the young people in your life. Now, going back to Mario, brother, tell us a little bit about the organization. How can folks get more information, and how could they be part of this conversation? How could they help out? Maybe because, you know, I come across a lot of times from doing the radio program, I come across a lot of men out there that want to help. They made mistakes in their lives. Man, you know what? I want to work with young people. I want something. I got something to say. But it's hard for a lot of men to get plugged in. How can folks get plugged in if they want to be a blessing to the community?
We're fortunate enough, we've been connected to various organizations. We work off of a curriculum which is called the Joven Noble, which means honorable young man, honorable young woman, and also El Hombre Buscando Balance en Su Vida, which means men looking for balance in their lives. Our curriculums, our programs were created by our elder, Jerry Thale. Our organization is a national organization in which we provide a lot of technical assistance and training to other organizations on how to develop programs for males, how to develop programs for fathers. Locally, myself, what I do is, aside of my job working in the community, I also I'm in the process right now of developing a young men's group in the McKinley area, McKinley and McLaughlin. Yeah. I'm also willing to go and help out in other organizations whenever they need support. But what I always do with the men, bro, I've also had a lot of the men that came out of my program that said, Mario, I want to step up. And what do I need to do? What are my steps in order to step up to help out my community? I'm done destroying. I want to build. And I say, first, the building starts within yourself. And that's one of the things I taught all brothers and sisters out there. If you really want to step up to help bring healing into your community, I want you to first look, get a mirror, put it up to your face, and ask yourself, have you started your healing process? Mm. Because these youngsters don't need somebody who's still broken.
They don't need your baggage.
Exactly. Thank you. They got enough. So how are you handling your baggage? How are you creating something precious out of your baggage? See, our ancestors taught us that we never looked bad down on our baggage. Our baggage is what built us up. Mm. It's what something that could hold you down or it could pick you up. You know, I always talk to people about the fact that, you know, and I'm going to quote DMX right here, you know, to live is to suffer. But to survive the suffering, you must define a meaning within it. How are you defining a meaning within the suffering that you've been blessed with? Because we look at suffering in a negative sense, but it's a responsibility that's been placed upon us in order to give back to where we came from. Mm. So when I work with these veteranos or veteranas, I always talk to them about that. Because when they're ready, when they've, and obviously our healing process will last us all our lives. Mm. But have we at least started the building blocks to do that? And when you're able to start doing that, then come out and volunteer. You know, I always... I mean, considering the fact that a lot of us use that label, been there, done that, but we got to be able to create something from the that.
Yeah. Did you learn from that?
Exactly. You know, youngsters don't need war stories. They are creating their own war stories. What they need are teachings. Mm. What they need are a roadmap on how to not head in the direction where their dads went, where their uncles went. You know, I look at prisons and I think to myself every day, all it is housing, wasted talent. Mm. Because I look at those brothers, I look at those sisters, and what they could be doing with their lives, and what they should be doing with their lives, and how everything's being stripped from them. Yeah, we're going to hold them accountable. They put themselves there. But what are we going to do? Just let them rot? Just let them go to waste? You know, our organization is in the process. One of the things that we're also looking to do is help create more safe places for young men and young women where we could gather them together, where we could teach them about themselves, where we could hold a sacred place where they could let go of their issues and at the same time build themselves up and then hopefully cross that bridge into manhood, into womanhood. So right now, the biggest contact that I would say is with the work that we're going to be doing in the McKinley area. We're doing it with an organization named Communiversity, which is connected to San Jose State University. And we're going to be hoping to start with something as small as 12 young men. But it's something that when we dedicate ourselves to a community, we put all our hearts into it.
All right, Mario, I want to thank you for coming down today. Can you throw a number or an email or something out there? If folks want to get in contact with
you? I'm going to put my email out there. It's MOS at Compadres Network, Compadres Network, NETWORK.org. That's my email address. My cell phone number is 408-750-7689.
All right, man. I want to thank you for coming down this morning. It's been a pleasure, brother, because we've been trying to hook up for a while. Finally came through. And, man, I look forward to having you come on again because there's a lot of conversation that needs to happen.